this morning, but I agreed to introduce. And that means about 45 minutes, Brother Gale. That's the way old Baptists read that sometime, I think, but I will not do that. And on behalf of the Canyon, that I really want to thank the Lubbock Church for loaning us your pastor. I say because I know we keep him, but for next second Sunday in Canyon, Jan and I will be gone to Houston, and it's very much an honor for us to have your pastor visit with us. And you can follow him down if you'd like. That'd be all right with our little congregation. I was thinking last week, last week was Thanksgiving week, Thursday, and you heard a lot about that subject on TV and radio, and it's a wonderful subject, and I'm just going to introduce Brother Gale, but I want you to think about something as we think about prayer and think about Thanksgiving. I did not hear something mentioned during all the whole week of people talking about prayer and Thanksgiving. Do you realize Christ himself prayed prayers of Thanksgiving? We see so many times when man does that, and that's wonderful, we should. But we don't realize that Christ himself prayed prayers of Thanksgiving. He gave thanks for many, many things. And normally, when you see a prayer of that type, it follows a great crisis. Something bad happened or was going to happen, and a prayer of thanksgiving was prayed by men and our Lord when those things were overcome and resolved. Hannah comes to mind over in 1 Samuel. Remember, Hannah was barren, and she prayed, in her words, a prayer of petition, asking for something. There was a crisis. That second chapter of the book of Samuel, remember, she was blessed to bear that man child. Then she prayed a prayer of thanksgiving. That part of the prayer, so many times I forget. I don't do that. I think, boy, that was nice. But then do we really thank the Lord for those things throughout this nation? You know, those pilgrims that first recorded Thanksgiving, they almost starved. But they had a bountiful harvest in 1621, and that's the first recorded Thanksgiving in our history books. I know there was some before that, but that's the very first, and it was because of a bountiful blessing upon the people. I'm sorry about these dates. I love history, so forgive me. 1789, George Washington, when he wrote his first presidential proclamation for Thanksgiving, why'd he do that? The nation had just gone through a great crisis. 5 years earlier, he gathered, when the British were defeated, he gathered all his officers together and asked his chaplain to offer a prayer, in his words, of thanksgiving after bloodshed, and yet there was a great prayer of thanksgiving. Many of you know who that chaplain was, Elder John Gano. John Gano wrote many memoirs and letters. He was an associational clerk, and so his letters are documented. And it can be proven with 42 witnesses that he baptized our first president, George Washington. Elder John Gano did. I won't get into that. Well, my time's already just about up. But can you see what we're talking about? After a great crisis, 1863, when Abraham Lincoln wrote his proclamation, this nation was divided, had gone through a great civil war. And if you read that Thanksgiving proclamation, look at the things that he was thanking the Lord for. He knew that there was conflict, but we were expanding westward. He saw the half-full glass, as we talk about. Each one of the people that give prayers of thanksgiving were thanking the Lord for the great things that had occurred after a tremendous crisis. When you read the Psalms, there are 150 Psalms. 26th Psalm in the 7th verse tells us what was in David's mind and the other Psalm readers when they began writing those. They said that they would give thanksgiving. Those Psalms are for thanksgiving to the Lord a petition and tell of the marvelous works that the Lord had done, thanking him for all that he had done. Quickly, let's go to the Lord, and then I'll sit down. You know, over in the 15th chapter of the book of Matthew, there was a crisis. There was a multitude there that didn't have anything to eat, and we know that story. This happened twice, so many times people think there's a conflict in the Bible. There's not. There are just two events that occurred that were very similar. 15th chapter of the book of Matthew, what are we going to feed all this multitude? Well, there's little 7 barley cakes and a few fishes. It didn't name the number of fishes in that book. But you know how many baskets were left over? The same number of baskets as was provided first. But what happened first when Christ received those barley cakes? You know what he did? He thanked. He offered a prayer of thanksgiving for those little barley cakes. And look at the abundance that occurred. 6th chapter of the book of John. The second time that happened, there was another multitude. We don't have enough to feed them. You'd think the disciples would be smart by now. But there was a little boy. The Bible says there was a young lad who had 5 loaves of bread and 2 fishes. Now, I picture that young lad as, I think I can make some money today. Because there's a lot of people out there and they're going to be hungry. And I'm going to go make these available. You know, it's just like the little guy on trying to sell Kool-Aid. But see, the Lord provides. He provides. Where are we going to go? We don't have enough money to go back to town. What did he do, the Lord do, with those 5 barley cakes? He offered a prayer of thanksgiving for them. So even the Lord offered thanksgiving. And I'll close with this because we could go on and on. But communion, you know how important communion is with the bread and the wine. And when the Lord set that out, the Lord was fulfilling the Old Testament and everything that he did during that period of time. The old Levitical laws, you know, the 7th chapter and the 4th verse, I believe it is, of Levitical laws, or maybe starting with the 11th verse of the 7th chapter, because there was a thanksgiving given to unleavened bread for a peace offering. If you read the old offerings in the Old Testament, there was one called a peace offering. And they would offer a prayer of thanksgiving for the peace offering of the unleavened bread. You see how that goes all the way to the New Testament when the Lord took that unleavened bread and the wine, blessed that bread, gave thanks for the wine. He gave a prayer of thanksgiving for what was provided, not realizing that was his own blood, you know, not literally, but an example of his own blood and his body. Great crisis before that. Men were lost. We were doomed, and yet he gave thanks for a little pieces of unleavened bread for what that accomplished. What he does, when we realize Christ himself offered prayers of thanksgiving, we really, really need to do that ourselves. All through there, you know, the church at Philippi, the last, very last chapter in the Philippian letter. It said, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks, for this is the duty of man in Jesus Christ concerning him. And that is our duty, to give thanks for what he has done for us. But always remember that Christ himself prayed just like he's instructed us to do. I've gone too long already. Please come forward, Brother Gill.